Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Everything starts with a design. Art, fashion, architecture, just about everything. Wouldn't you like to know more about what inspired the designer and why they designed something as they did? Welcome to Dishing the Dirt on Design with hosts Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schapa. We'll speak to some of the most renowned names in the field of design, along with Ann and Eleanor's comments and flair. Let's get started. Here's Ann and Eleanor.
Hello, and welcome to Dishing the Dirt on Design. I'm Ann Asher.
And I'm Eleanor Schrader Schapa.
Today, we have two guests to discuss the business of interior design. Our first guest is Catherine Fern, president of the Los Angeles chapter of the American Society of Interior Designers. Our second guest is Keith Granite of Granite & Associates, who is a management consultant for the design industry. Catherine Fern has a very fine resume. She has been teaching emerging interior designers in important business aspects of the profession since 2005. She teaches the business strategies and project management courses in the UCLA Extension, Cal Poly Pomona Masters in Interior Architecture Program. She was the faculty advisor for the ASID UCLA Extension student chapter for 6 years, during which time the chapter won the ASID. And by the way, ASID is American Society of Interior Designers. So in that time, she won the ASID National Outstanding Student Chapter. That's pretty impressive. And she did this for 2 consecutive years. Very good. In 2010, she was awarded ASID's National Faculty Advisor of the Year. She has also served on the ASID National Student Advisory Council. She continues to serve as a member of the board of the Interior Design Coalition of California, the organization that represents both the International Interior Design Association, ASID again, which as well as the unaffiliated interior design professionals in legislative matters, and that is key, and I'm sure Kat will talk about that later. Kat was awarded the UCLA Extension ARC-ID Outstanding Instructor Award for 2007 and the UCLA Extension Distinguished Instructor Award in 2012. Welcome, Catherine, better known to her friends as Kat. And thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's an honor. We think of interior design as a fun job. And along with the fun comes the importance of solid technical knowledge in many facets of what we call the built environment. I'm really glad that you and Eleanor have asked Keith Granite and I here to speak to you today about the business of interior design. Well, now, many designers are small business owners. And many run larger firms. It's important that your listeners understand the impact of the profession on the economy, and in turn, the importance of business training on the success of an interior design practice. I just read that the U.S. construction industry is supposed to reach $1 trillion in the next 3 years. That means we need to have a lot of new interior designers to meet the growing needs of the clients. If you're designing interiors for a business, you need to understand the business and, of course, your own.
Well, we are just so pleased to have you, and this is great information to set the background for our show. So thank you, Kat, for bringing us some of those statistics. Now, Kat, can you talk a little bit about your background and how you came to the field of interior design?
Well, I was a financial executive in the apparel business for 18 years, an accountant.
I feel your pain.
Yeah. Then my husband and I took off for 4 years and sailed across the Pacific Ocean in our 37-foot sailboat from Vancouver to Australia and all points between.
Oh, you are very brave and adventurous people.
Yeah. Well, when I returned to L.A., I tried going back to the apparel business but found myself discontent to be a part of a crew rather than being the co-captain of my own vessel. So I worked in an art gallery, and there I met my first client, who was a young TV star who needed guidance in making his first home comfortable and appropriate. I was a perfect example of a person who does not know what they don't know. I found out. So I went back to school at UCLA Extension in the interior design program and continued my practice while completing that program. Like many of my clients, I began as a sole practitioner taking on residential projects. Soon after that, I joined Synthesis as co-owner of that S-Corp, a design build firm. You know, when you have a partner and you're doing design build work and interior renovations, you quickly learn that it's important to have the limited liability protection of an S-Corp mm-hmm. or an LLC. Many projects, and several years later, I had amassed enough experience and made enough mistakes that I could effectively teach project management and business strategies at UCLA. And I've been doing that for the past 8 years.
Well, the lucky UCLA yeah. students. Kat, can you tell us about the American Society of Interior Designers and what it is all about and how it operates?
Sure. ASID is the largest professional organization in the U.S. and Canada for interior design. Think of it as like a bar association or like the AMA or AIA. It's the leading voice of the profession, and it's the core of the design network. We have 30,000 members, including student members and industry partners. There are several levels of membership. Are you interested in that?
Oh, yes, we want to hear all about it because our listeners want to know, too.
Well, to be a professional member, you need to have an interior design education and pass a rigorous national exam. Before you pass the exam, you can be an allied member if you have the required education. If you're missing the education but you have a knockout portfolio of work and many years of experience, you can be an associate member. We also have educator, industry partner, and student membership categories. Industry partners are our vendors, our manufacturers, and our showrooms, and they network with us and have membership in our association as well. Our ASID Los Angeles chapter has over 1,400 members.
Wow. That's very
sizable. All three categories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the three largest in the United States.
Well, what are the three largest?
Okay. Texas, where I just came from 2 days ago mm-hmm. for a national conference, and New York Metro, mm-hmm. I think. And I said we're one of the three, so that's us.
And Los Angeles.
Yes.
So that's interesting. I thought maybe Florida would have been one of the big ones, too, because there was so much building there and decorating for so many years.
Florida is a large chapter.
Yeah.
In fact,
mm-hmm.
Florida is divided into a couple chapters.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And California actually has 8 chapters.
Wow.
But ASID LA is the largest.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about how much you have promoted ASID, Kat, and how you have organized such wonderful events and continuing education seminars. Tell us more about some of the things that are happening in Los Angeles maybe in the next few months.
Sure. Well, you know, ASID provides research to its members, networking opportunities, CEUs, continuing education, and I don't want to go away without saying this, a code of ethics
yes,
that
important.
We work by and that the public and our clients can rely on. in LA, we're providing events, forums, discussions, and community service programs in which our members can involve themselves in order to stay on top of their game. So, like, for example, last month, we had an all-day workshop on marketing the interior design business with, quote, tools you can use. And later this month, we're meeting for a CEU on lighting innovations at Ferguson's, a large kitchen and bath showroom, also an industry partner. We'll be hosting panels of designers at West Week and La Cienega Design Quarter events, and we'll be very involved with our national annual meeting and training here in L.A. at Dwell on Design in June. Look for lectures and panels and interactive events and, of course, parties and galas when all the interior design leaders from across the U.S. meet here in L.A. for Dwell on Design.
And what are the dates of that? When does that take place?
Dwell on Design is June 21st through 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And we'll be there and a big part of it. And maybe you will, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, you can't get rid
right.
of us, Kat.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. How about continuing education units? How does that work?
Well, there is an accrediting body. Here's a bunch of initials, IDCEC, that accredits continuing education units in order to maintain our membership as allied associate or professional members in ASID. We are required to amass a certain number of CEU units every year. They just upped the ante for the professionals so that we need 0.7, which is the equivalent of, you know what, I'm not sure I have this number right. I would have to look it up because it just changed.
And it's probably on your website, too.
Absolutely. It's yeah. about 10 hours, mm-hmm. so each hour is a 0.1.
And this is to maintain your knowledge in the business. It's so important for any industry to have these CEUs.
Absolutely, and they cover a full range of topics from innovations in the fields of design, in business practices, in laws, in aging, how to design for the aging populace, how, you know, many, many, many topics across a wide range. And, of course, our chapter is instrumental in providing the opportunities for the designers to capture that education.
This is great information. And, Kat, we can't wait to hear more, so it's time to take a break, and we look forward to hearing more from Kat Fearn, president of the Los Angeles chapter of the American Society of Interior Designers.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Make your dreams come true. When you want the very best excellence and elegance in interior design, contact Ann Asher, named one of the world's top 40 interior designers by the Robb Report. Visit her website at www.annasherinteriors.com or send an email to info@annasherinteriors.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
News. Opinion.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schapa. For more information about our program, please visit DishingTheDirtOnDesign.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Dishing the Dirt on Design. Today, we're talking with Catherine, known as Kat Fearn, president of the Los Angeles chapter of the American Society of Interior Designers. Kat, can you talk for a while about the legislative efforts that the society has been involved in?
Absolutely. ASID is an advocate for the profession. We're engaged in affecting laws nationally that protect our scope of work and garner better tax codes in areas that affect our businesses. 28 states currently have laws offering certification, registration, or licensure for interior designers. ASID advocates for laws that ensure our rights to practice, that benefit the public by recognizing qualified interior design professionals and allow us to practice to the full extent of our training and abilities. In California, we have a strong coalition of ASID and IIDA members who are working to strengthen the current California law. I'm part of that coalition, and we recently held a tour of three downtown design firms, SAA, Gensler, and IA, to raise funds to support our legislative work. The law in California that creates the title Certified Interior Designer is right now, currently, undergoing its sunset review, which means that the legislature is reviewing its efficacy. Does this law meet the needs of our profession? We are involved in that review and asking for key reforms. This is really a fun part of my ASID work. I get to go to Sacramento and speak to our representatives about the interior design profession, its impact on the California economy, our students, and on the public health, welfare, and safety.
That's all very interesting, what you're telling us. I know that many years ago, there was an effort afoot to try to have the ability to be issued a resale card so that you could buy in closed decorating showrooms at the discounted price and have that restricted only to people who could pass these tests. That, I assume, never went anywhere. And now the closed showroom business model has completely fallen apart. And there's a whole new sea change that has taken place in the design field. How are you people adjusting to the sea change of what has happened in the design field?
Well, that's really interesting that you would ask that, because I just returned Monday from the President's Forum and Legislative Symposium in Dallas, where all of the ASID presidents across the nation met. We, at the President's Forum, we spent over 3 hours in a concentrated discussion with the Decorative Furnishings Association, DFA, DCI, which is the Design Centers Institute, print media, and design leaders on the important subject of new business paradigms affecting our business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Relationships with manufacturers and showrooms and the policies and practices regarding public access to design centers and showrooms. In mixed groups of seven around the room for 3 hours, we created a master plan of how we designers would prefer the showrooms to work with us and our clients.
And can you tell us what they are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we spoke up loud and clear and amazingly reached solid consensus that will allow for improved business relationships. For example, the great thing was is that there were 14 design centers and managers there, and Architectural Digest and Veranda and many magazines, as well as important members of the profession and the presidents of ASID. And one of the things that we came up with was that we want the showrooms and the design centers to have consistent pricing policies. And what we would prefer, and I think they've agreed to this, is what we would prefer is that they only show the public and only post list prices, so that any discounts that a professional would be entitled to are not part of what the showroom is talking to the public and our clients about, that there's two separate price tiers. So that's just one of the things. Another thing is that we talked a great deal about improving communication and at the showroom level and providing digital kiosks that link back to the professional designers' websites. And it was an amazing 3 hours. and they heard us. It was an important summit, and the room was full of important people, all making time to listen to each other about collaborating to improve the business.
That's really great.
It was really good. My little group of seven was the chapter president from Iowa, the Intermountain chapter, Florida South, Oregon, Tom Dovalier of Cravit, and Martha Thompson, who's the president of DCI and the head of the San Francisco Design Center.
You know, and so much information is needed to give to the public that the interior design field is a professional field and one that has laws and ethics, and we're not just a bunch of pillow fluffers.
Absolutely.
Well, Kat, you've also served as student advisor for the UCLA Extension Architectural and Interior Design Program, our student chapter of the ASID, and we have been so lucky to have you. You are just beloved there. So tell us more about how important it is for students to become involved in their school chapters and the professional design organizations like ASID.
Well, you know, ASID cares very much about students.
Yeah.
They are the future of our profession. And as a student member of ASID, you would have the opportunity for professional mentoring, participate in design-related events, activities, and discussions with your fellow students and professionals alike. ASID LA, along with ASID Pasadena, is co-hosting Student Career Day on February 22nd with the Pasadena chapter. At the Pacific Design Center for students of interior design throughout the area.
Good.
This is an opportunity for students to hear professional designers speak in showrooms about important aspects of interior design, as well as panel discussions, and to meet the showroom staff. I personally will be doing a presentation on how to set up your business, in which I'll do an overview of finance, insurance, and legalities, etc. Great day.
Excellent. Oh, my goodness. That is such important information for the students and for everyone in the field to know about.
Well, I think the most important benefit of ASID involvement, both for students and professionals, is the leadership training mm-hmm. that a student member gets. Our CEO, Randy Feiser, said the other day that when successful interior designers are asked about how they became successful, they often point to the leadership skills that they
right.
learned through ASID. You learn how to speak in public, work on teams, do radio shows, or orchestrate events, speak with vendors, obtain sponsors, engage speakers, and ask for guidance.
That's
do
very,
portfolio
very.
And sorry?
I said that's very worthwhile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do portfolio and resume reviews and provide interview tips. In fact, the other day I was looking through some photographs of past interior student chapters, and I saw the board from the 2010 student chapter and just realized that every single one of those board members has a good job right now in interior design.
Yeah. Well, we work them hard in the UCLA Extension program, don't we? We
uh-huh.
turn out the best.
Uh-huh.
That's the way we feel about it.
Can you tell us something more about, for example, UCLA? You teach there, and I know that they have a very active student program at UCLA, one of the best in the country, I believe. And maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about that program that specifically has made it so good.
Well, it was one of the first really dedicated interior design programs. I think it was started by Jody Greenwald back in the, oh gosh, was it the 70s, Eleanor?
Yes.
I think so.
Early 70s.
And it is a very comprehensive program with two different levels. One is called the certificate level, and that's the introduction to interior design, along with teaching a lot of design history and design skills. And then there's the master's degree level, which is an intensive studio program. And we also teach building code, sustainability, we teach project management, and all important business practices, of which 12 weeks is not enough.
I know.
Tonight we're doing We're talking about how to know your cost so that you can determine your fees. And there's a lot of accounting and finance information that I'm going to be trying to put into their brains tonight.
Speaking about costs and fees, have you seen that there's a change in the way many designers are working in how they do their costs and their fees now compared to the way they did it a number of years ago?
Yes. The whole business model is changing, and mm-hmm. I think it's important that interior designers who've been practicing a long time, they can continue to work with their existing clients the way they always have. But we're no longer solely vendors. We're not merchants, per se. That's not the main thrust of an interior design education or professional guidance. I mean, we are a profession, and a great deal of what we do is about things other than the products that we sell.
Right.
Hmm. So that paradigm has shifted. So now interior designers are charging fees for the services that they perform. Some charge hourly, some charge a fixed fee, some charge a combination of both. I have a 3-hour lecture on this. Would you like me to start now?
Long enough, but unfortunately, we're just about the end of our segment
now. Kat, it's been such a joy to talk to you today. You've given us so much information, and before we say goodbye to you, we want to tell everybody that the general website for the ASID is www.asid.org, and our Los Angeles chapter, of which Kat is our illustrious president, www.asidla.org. So, Kat, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It's been my absolute pleasure.
All right. Well, when we return with Dishing the Dirt on Design, we will hear from industry design management consultant Keith Granite.
And thank you, Kat. It's been a pleasure.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Make your dreams come true. When you want the very best excellence and elegance in interior design, contact Ann Asher, named one of the world's top 40 interior designers by the Robb Report. Visit her website at www.annasherinteriors.com or send an email to info@annasherinteriors.com. There are people just like you who want to make a difference. God's vision for the end time is to bless those that help others. Tune in to Wilderness Mountain Ministry with host Brother Jackie Grissom and co-host Brother Steve Zarling. Our program will help those in Israel who are homeless and starving. We'll also talk about religious, political, and personal matters, as well as end-time prophecies. Listen for Wilderness Mountain Ministry, broadcasting live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Michelle Kors 6 Degrees is your connected consciousness. 6 Degrees is what comes around, goes around radio. Committed to delivering a fresh perspective on thought-provoking, investigative information that can change your life. 6 Degrees connects you to the social and emotional scene and is your trusted advisor from finance to romance, mainstream to metaphysical. It's a positive, upbeat look at life, love, and the pursuit of passion. Get connected Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schapa. For more information about our program, please visit dishingthedirtondesign.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to our program on the business of interior design. Our next guest is Keith Granite, principal of the management consulting firm Granite & Associates. He is the author of Business of Design, Balancing Creativity and Profitability. He teaches at UCLA and at USC. He is the founder of the Design Speakers Bureau and co-founder of the Leaders of Design Council. He is on the board of directors of the Los Angeles chapter of the Institute for Classical Architecture. He created the interview series, Inside the Business of Design, to allow access into the business side of successful design practices. His firm currently has a client base made up of over 400 architectural, interior, environmental, landscape, product development, and engineering firms. His client list includes Calvin Klein, Charlotte Moss, Fortuny, Gensler, Jonathan Adler, John Barbados, Catherine Ireland, Nate Berkus Associates, Rose Tarlo Melrose House, and Tad Hayes. Well, welcome, Keith. It is such a pleasure to have you join us today.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Keith, could you please tell us something about your background and how you became interested in to be a management consultant in the design industry?
Well, first I have to say I'm exhausted hearing that bio as you were reading it.
We're impressed.
I don't know. I'm not sure how we actually got there, but it's been an exciting journey, and hopefully it will be a long one to come. You know, I wanted to be an architect, and early on went to work for Gensler, which is now the largest firm in the world, and was probably one of the largest firms in the country at the time. But realized that I didn't think I was as talented as I needed to be to really make a name in architecture. And but I loved the business side, and it was sort of the perfect combination of the two to be at a firm like Gensler to experiment with that, and quickly became Art Gensler's assistant in helping him in financial sort of research and business management, and stayed there for 8 years and realized, you know, I'd like to know what it was like to run a smaller firm and move to a firm in San Diego where I got to run the show for about a 60-person architectural firm, and then realized it was time to go out on my own and help all these designers who were trying to make a go out of it in their business, and started working with, you know, architects and interior designers to help them deal with the left brain of their practice that they were, you know, not in tune to. And, you know, the rest is sort of history.
And that's so wonderful that you're able to combine that business background as well as design background. That sounds like a dream come true.
You know, the reason it's a dream is that I love what I do, and because I get to be work in an environment where, you know, everyone creates every day, and not many people get that sort of luxury in life.
Well, my students at UCLA have been the recipient of your excellent words of advice in running a design business. Can you share some of your words of wisdom with our listeners?
Wow, that's a there's a book out there called The Business of Design. Yes, of course. You know, I think when it comes down to it, you have to treat the design business as a business. And as much as you may love it or may think, you know, you're only a creative type, there is no successful creative person out there that hasn't really recognized that the majority of the work they do on a daily basis is keeping their business functioning. And the more you put good practices in place, it actually makes you more creative because it frees you up from worrying about all the things in your business that, you know, that would keep you up at night, whether you're going to, where you're going to pay that next salary from, or where the next project's going to come from, or how you're going to keep the lights on. If you have good systems in place, it really does allow you time to free your brain up to design more, rather than being mired down in concern and worry over the business.
Right. You have a nice list of probably about 10 or 15 items that you show on the overhead projector to my students, and if you could conjure up some of those. And one of those that has always impressed me is your personal connection with the people you work with, because in this list, one of them says, make sure you say good night to all of your employees before you leave.
Yeah, it's sort of our top 10 good business practices, and I always think of them as somewhat silly at times.
No.
But they, in reality, they are very simple things that mean a lot to a lot of people. So the one that you bring up is, you know, say goodnight and good morning to your staff, because they're there for you. They're there to, you know, keep your business moving, and they just need to be appreciated. So if you leave without saying goodnight, it sort of sends a message that you don't care.
Right.
And, you know, our employees are our greatest asset. We don't actually make a whole lot of stuff. We, you know, we specify a lot and we design a lot. And it comes from being in a service business. And the more we can teach the importance of that service, the more successful you will be as a practice.
And those 10 items are listed in your book, I hope.
They are listed in my book.
Okay. Well, Anne has a question for you.
Picking up on that, your book, The Business of Design, Balancing Creativity and Profitability, could you please go into some of the highlights of the book for our listeners? I know you've started, but there's probably a lot more in the book than just what we've mentioned so far.
Well, there are, you know, there are six chapters of the book. There's sort of general good business practices. There's finance and accounting. There's human resources. There's marketing and public relations. There's project management. And there's product design, which is sort of a separate element of what we offer as a service. But, you know, I'd say my favorite chapter of the book, surprisingly, is the human resource chapter, because it really goes into how do you pick the right person to join your firm and who's the right fit for your company. And I always say hire first for fit and second for skill.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody is the right fit for your company, you can usually give them the skill. It's when they're highly skilled but they don't fit in that they become this sort of what we call, you know, excuse my language, but a competent jerk.
Yes.
You know, it's really, you know, somebody who is highly skilled, knows what they're doing, and doesn't really care if they fit in. And that is not the right culture you want for your office. You really want everyone to be sort of swimming in the same direction and to get along, and you're far more successful that way. So I really believe that you should really evaluate your staff on how they fit your firm and also on their skill, but the combination of the two. And if they can be highly skilled and highly cultured, then you're going to have the most successful practice.
And part of the core of your business, from what I understand, is just to help people through these financial issues as well. So many people come into whatever field, whether it be design or anything else, and just don't have that financial background that your firm provides.
That's correct. You know, we go into many firms, whether it's a monthly or a quarterly basis, and we review their financials with them so that they're tracking their projects. They're tracking the performance of their office in a way to know that if there's something, you know, that's, you know, a trend that's happening that we need to correct, we can do it quickly. And it's the firms that have not paid attention to their bottom line that get themselves in trouble.
What do you do with marketing?
Because
that's one of your chapters.
Yes, one of the chapters is marketing. And, you know, sort of my favorite thing to tell people is to learn how to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a very difficult thing for a designer to do. They tend to think, you know, I need that next project. I mean, part of the problem with our industry is that you get a project, you do a good job, you get another project, but you're always looking for more work. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that the work you're looking for is aligned with the client you want to have and the project you want it to be. And too many people will take on just anything just to feed the machine. And it's really important to make sure that those future projects and clients are actually going to move your company in a positive direction.
Right. Right. That's a very important point, because you can have a wonderful project and then not be able to leapfrog off of it because you get trapped in difficult projects, difficult people who don't want to work together, going back to the team approach that you have mentioned, and then it hurts the whole firm.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most important pieces of advice that you give is to put away 10% of everything that you make into your savings.
You know, because it's not a big number, and it just allows you to prepare for, you know, if a project goes south or if you need money for taxes or for capital. You just, you know, if I said to you, you're going to need $100,000 at the end of the year, and you have $1 million worth of billing, you'd be like, where am I going to get that $100,000 from? But if I, every month or every week when money came in, just literally carved 10% out and just forgot about it, at the end of the year, you'd have that $100,000.
That's right.
Excellent advice.
Wonderful point. And thank you very much, Keith, for giving us that point. It's time for us to take a short break. This is Dishing the Dirt on Design, and we shall be back in just a few minutes with our very fine guest, Keith Granite.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
Make your dreams come true. When you want the very best excellence and elegance in interior design, contact Ann Asher, named one of the world's top 40 interior designers by the Robb Report. Visit her website at www.annasherinteriors.com or send an email to info@annasherinteriors.com.
Do you find yourself tearing pictures of rooms out of magazines? Do you watch certain movies and TV programs because of the homes they show? Are Sundays reserved for open houses? Then you are a home dreamer. And someday, you will build or renovate your dream home. Steve Klipp has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the Dream Home Game. His show, Winning the Dream Home Race, can be heard every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Let Steve Klipp help save you money and make you a winner. Are you ready for an open, informative, and fun discussion on health, wellness, and a whole lot more? If so, you'll need to tune in to The Good Life with Forbes Riley and Charlie, featuring award-winning TV host Forbes Riley and multimedia producer, author, and CEO Charlie Fusco. Our show is real, honest, opinionated, and full of laughs. Our well-known guests of authors, experts, and celebrities will give you the inside scoop on health, fitness, and personal success. The Good Life with Forbes Riley and Charlie is heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schapa. For more information about our program, please visit dishingthedirtondesign.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Dishing the Dirt on Design, and we're talking with Keith Granite of Granite & Associates, management consultant to the design industry.
Keith, I have a question for you. What are some of the best ways that a designer can build his or her name, especially to the point of marketing themselves and getting licensing agreements for products or services?
Well, you know, I would say that, and this may sound flip, but the best way to, you know, get a good name for yourself is to do good work. To the product design, you know, we get asked that question every day, and we get potential client calls every day for people who want to do product. There's a big difference between somebody who can design a piece of furniture for their client on a one-off basis versus being able to design for the masses. And, you know, and I believe that if you have a point of view that is very appealing to a large audience, then product development is for you. If, you know, you just have a few pieces that you want to do, then you're probably not going to be as successful with licensing. But building a name for yourself and a brand is really about getting out there and making sure you market yourself in a very positive way. You build relationships with the editors so that you can be published. And you know, I just recently did a retreat with a client, and they said, well, we never leave her office. I said, well, that's not going to help you build a brand. You don't want to be the best-kept secret. Because you really want that phone to ring where people are calling you for business versus you always having to go out and search for it yourself.
Do you recommend that people get agents and others to get the name out?
Yes. I think that there's always that sort of challenge with, you know, PR agents and even licensing agents that, you know, I believe in PR that my most successful clients have not gotten the press that they have because of an agent. They've gotten it because of the relationship they have personally built with the editors.
Mm-hmm. That's very good advice.
I think when you have a product line or you want to be part of a trend story, so that's what PR agents do well. You know, they know what, you know, what story a editor is coming out with that is going to be a mixture of many designers, and they want to hear about a trend or they want to hear about the best kitchen, and those types of articles are good for PR agents to pitch. But when it really comes down to getting your work published, it's about the relationship with the editor that you have.
Okay. Now, do you do that sort of connections between the editors and your clients?
Yeah, all the time.
Well, Keith, this is fascinating, and I do like this when you say that the jobs that you have gotten published, you've gotten done on your own and not with a PR agent, because I always found that true for myself, that they were my contacts with the different magazines or editors or different things like that, and the PR agents didn't really produce them. You know, it was personal relationships. So I'm very happy to hear you mention that to our audience, because for those designers or people in the field who want to follow this course, they realize they just can't rely on somebody else to do it for them. They have to do it themselves and then work with the professional that will put them in the right shape and format to get their things out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that it takes confidence, and you have to exude that confidence in the work you do and who you are. And, you know, sometimes you need that agent to, like, just help you boost that. I did have a client once that said, "I know what your magic is." And I said, "I don't think it's magic, but what do you think it is?" And she said, "You give me the confidence to do my best."
That's wonderful.
And it's true. Knowing Keith,
true.
He's such
that
a lovely
is,
man.
That
and,
is just
and
wonderful.
I'm very fortunate that he comes to speak to my students every quarter, and so they feel very lucky to have a few minutes with you as well.
That's a huge compliment to you, Keith.
Yes.
It really is.
Well, you've been conducting a series of interviews with design leaders, and we'd like to hear more about that.
You know, that came about, I was asked to be a keynote speaker after my book was published at the San Francisco Winter Market, and I decided that I didn't really want to just get up there and talk about the book. I mean, I do that enough.
Right.
I said, but could I bring two clients with me, and we can just talk about, we each started our own businesses, we each worked for big firms before, and so we had this interview with the three of us, where I was actually the interviewee and the audience seemed to eat it up. And I said, wow, this is something, they're just dying to have more information about the business. And since that's sort of my world, I thought, well, you know, I love the format of Inside the Actor's Studio.
Yeah.
So I did some research, found out where that was filmed, and we came up with the concept of Inside the Business of Design. And we approached Parsons and the New School with that, and that's where the actual Inside the Actor's Studio was filmed.
Wow.
So we do it in the exact same theater.
What?
And then we identified six designers, you know, who we felt were iconic people that people would want to hear how they, you know, you always often hear about their projects and you hear about their work, but you don't really hear about the back end of their business. And, you know, basically nobody turned me down, and we set up the series. So it's one night a month for 6 months. We've already had two. We had Robert Stern as the first one, and Charlotte Moss as the second. And on February 21st will be Mark Ferguson, a Ferguson Chemamian. And then we have Bunny Williams, a man named Bjorki Engels, who's a rock star architect, and Holly Hunt. And that will be season one. And hopefully, given the attention it's getting, that we'll go on to season two in the fall.
And you are going to be posting this also on the web or videotaping it, I believe?
Yes, it's all videotaped. We just posted. We have a YouTube channel that's just started, and they'll be shot in, or they'll be distributed in 18-minute segments. So each piece of it, so each interview, which is about an hour long, will have three segments, and they'll be given out, they'll be sort of parsed out weekly throughout the next couple of months.
Well, that sounds wonderful. We're looking forward to seeing those. And those of us at heart in New York at the time that you're making your interviews, this will be great for us to see then. Keith, you also organize a design conference for industry leaders, and tell us more about that.
Yes, myself and Meg Tauborg, my partner in this, created something called the Leaders of Design Council, and it's now actually a full-on organization. It's not just an annual conference, although that's the big piece of it, and we're going to Berlin this year in April. But we we bring together about 200 designers to talk about best business practices, and we started it to create a community that didn't exist within the industry to share ideas, and it's turned into this, you know, this love fest of people who are direct competitors with each other who just share their business ideas, and we, you know, and we've now turned it into this organization. So we just got back from a workshop on fees and salaries with these very high-end people who talk to each other about, you know, their what they charge, and they opened up, and our whole mission now is to communicate the value of design.
Yes, very important.
So we went from creating community to now communicating value.
Well, in our last minute or so, do you have any suggestions for what you see as the future of the profession or what's going on in the world today that impacts the industry?
I think that is the big word here is value. I think that as this industry sort of has become somewhat fractured with, you know, everything from DIY to this very custom, and the fact that the internet has opened up access to pricing and product, that we have to be able to communicate that it's not about how you, anybody can buy anything. It's really truly how you put it together and how we can sell the services we offer, which is that of being a designer and not just somebody who's pushing a lot of, you know, product around. So I think that this industry is changing drastically daily, and as, if we strengthen our position in it, it'll be in communicating value.
Very good. Well, this has been so wonderful to talk to you. Keith's website is www.granet.net. And thank you so much, Keith, for sharing your knowledge with us today.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for being with us today. We really have enjoyed it. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. And we hope that you will come to join us each week at 4 o'clock. Thank you.
And Bye. Don't forget to visit our Facebook page, Dishing the Dirt on Design.
Thank you again for listening this week. Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schappa will be back next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, for another edition of Dishing the Dirt on Design on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a great week.